Good morning. Welcome, everyone. Welcome if you're a visitor. We are always glad to see you. And a huge warm welcome to Leslie. Back from her endeavours, still with 2 feet and her shoes on. I would be lying down in the darkened room, but... So welcome, Leslie. Right. You need to realise that church news is out today, and could you please pick your copies up from the vestibule? A group of us went to Ted's ordination yesterday, and it was an absolutely joyous occasion, as you can imagine. There is tea and coffee served after our service in the Mayo Hall, and there is also jam for sale, made by Georgina, so please buy. Don't forget the shoeboxes appeal. October the 28th is the deadline. We haven't got many shoeboxes, so if there's a volunteer who would go to Hotter to see if they have any, we would be very grateful. Please come and see me afterwards. One item of pastoral news: Jane Townsend's mum has had a fall and she's in Kingston Hospital. She'd be very glad for visitors. And Liz wants to say something about our fantastic hymn fest.
Well, there was a very joyful noise in the church yesterday morning, as the choir who were there will tell you. We had an excellent rehearsal for the Hymn Fest, which is a week on Saturday. So please, we need you to come. And will you please sign up if you haven't done already? There should be a signing up sheet at the back of the church somewhere there, and one in the Mayo Hall. And also, I should be going around with it. One other thing, Peter Bullitt, who is leading us, asked if we would have an extra hymn practice of the choir between now and October 6th. So I'm sorry, but I just need to say to the choir, please would you have a word with me? We're going to try and fix it for this Saturday coming at 10 o'clock here. But I have got to just confirm that. Thank you.
Let us give thanks to the living God, for this is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and let us be glad in it. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we sing "Come All You Vagabonds." Come on, give it your best shot, eh? Come on.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was indeed interesting. So let's join to pray. Let's pray. So we gather in this place. With all our differences and all our hopes, with all our disappointments, and each one of us is loved by you, and the Holy Spirit is present here, and here we are in our weakness and with our anxieties. And we carry our burdens, and we also are aware of the burdens of others. And we need your strength. Heavenly Maker, draw near. But in your light, when we stop, when we examine ourselves, we see the things of darkness, the cravings and the jealousies that we hide, the loyalties, the things that are not of you, Lord Jesus. May your Holy Spirit be in each one of us. Fill us. Forgive us. And the Lord Jesus says to us, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sin from you. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Psalm 54, please, Stuart. So we say, save me by your power, O God. Set me free by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to my words. Proud people are coming to attack me. Cruel people are trying to kill me, those who do not care about God. But God is my helper. The Lord is my defender. May God use their own evil to punish my enemies. God will destroy them because God is faithful. I will gladly offer you a sacrifice, O Lord. I will give you thanks because you are good. You have rescued me from all my troubles. I have seen my enemies defeated. Which would you like? Do you want this one? Good. Cool.
Leslie hits it and it works. One of the themes from the lectionary reading this week is about the first being last, and I want to give a little demonstration of that. Now, do you ever argue with your friends? Sometimes. Sometimes, right. I heard a group of friends the other day arguing about who was the tallest. So, I want to do a little experiment and see who's the tallest and the shortest at the moment. Dahi, come and stand out here. Right. Sue, you come and stand out here. Oh my goodness, there's not much in it. Turn your backs to each other. Heads up. Just Dahi? Right, so we've got one, two, three. They are like steps. I wonder if we could have somebody who's a bit taller. Sally, would you mind? Right, and somebody who's even taller. Stu, would you mind? There is no doubt about this. Right, now, I get the feeling that sometimes the people who are the tallest and the biggest are the ones who feel that they're the greatest and the best, and they're the leaders. Right. So, I want you to go on a little walk, just down the end, follow your leader. Oh, great. Okay, off you go. Solemn walk. Right, okay, stop. Now, just turn round, still in the same order, and I think the little one could be the leader. Julia, you could give her a little shove, Sue. Come on, you're going to be the leader. You come with me. That's it, well done. Good girl, you show them where to go. I'm not being the leader. Right. So in some situations, the tallest and biggest can be the leader. But Jesus said that the best way is to make yourself, in some ways, the smallest and the most humble, and you can be a leader too. We're going to talk about this a bit more when we go outside this morning. Okay? Come sit down. Sing. Oh, what are we singing? Sorry. O Lord, all the world belongs. O Lord, all the world belongs to you. Number 90.
Thank you.
The letter of James contrasts gentleness and wisdom with bitter envy and selfish ambition. And to know that even if we feel those motivations, we must not allow them to determine our behaviour. Olive Springham will read the first reading to us.
The letter from James, chapter 3, from verse 13 into chapter 4. The wisdom from above. Are there people among you who are wise and understanding? They are to prove it by their good lives, by their good deeds, performed with humility and wisdom. But if in your heart you are jealous, bitter, and selfish, don't sin against the truth by boasting of your wisdom. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven. It belongs to the world. It is unspiritual and demonic. Where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is also disorder and every kind of evil. But the wisdom from above is pure, first of all. It is also peaceful, gentle, and friendly. It is full of compassion and produces a harvest of good deeds. It is free from prejudice and hypocrisy. And goodness is the harvest that is produced from the seeds the peacemakers plant in peace. Where do all the fights and quarrels among you come from? They come from your desires for pleasure, which are constantly fighting within you. You want things, but you cannot have them. So you are ready to kill. You strongly desire things, but you cannot get them, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have what you want because you do not ask God for it. And when you ask, you do not receive it because your motives are bad. You ask for things to use for your own pleasures. So then, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will run away from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you hypocrites. Amen.
Amen. In the Gospel according to Mark, there is a theme that runs through it, a very strange theme. It is known as the messianic secret, that Jesus was keeping the fact that he was the Messiah quiet. And this is about him having time with his disciples and also with him teaching an idea that love, humility, and generosity should characterize his disciples, not clawing for rank or for status. Brenda Parkins will read this passage to us.
The reading is from Mark chapter 9, verses 30 to 37. Jesus speaks about his death. Jesus and his disciples left that place and went on through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where he was because he was teaching his disciples. The Son of Man will be handed over to those who will kill him. 3 days later, however, he will rise to life. But they did not understand what this teaching meant, and they were afraid to ask him. They came to Capernaum, And after going indoors, Jesus asked his disciples, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they would not answer him, because on the road they had been arguing amongst themselves about who was the greatest. Jesus sat down, called the 12 disciples, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must place himself last of all and be the servant of all." Then he took a child and made him stand in front of them. He put his arms round him and said to them, "Whoever welcomes in my name one of these children welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also the one who sent me." Amen.
Amen. So let us pray. May the words that we hear be yours, Lord Jesus. May the words that I speak be yours. Amen. Who is the greatest? And Jesus looked round and pulled into the middle of the circle one of the wise old people from the town, a man well versed in the truths of religion, a sensible, mature person who was well known for doing good things. "Here is your example," Jesus said, and everybody murmured under their breath, "Good choice, Rabbi." And that is not how it is. The more powerful you are in terms of the world, the more you are going to hate this teaching from Jesus. But it's great news if you are old, if you are mentally ill, if you are very young, if you are poor, if you are outside of the mainstream of British society. Those of you who are increasingly frail, if a child is anything, they are among the powerless. And he brings a child into the middle. And if you think this teaching of Jesus is far-fetched and foolish, then I would say to you, you need to go home and you need to do some homework on it. Maybe you need to put on some music and just dance. Or maybe you need to get a piece of paper and draw something. Or maybe you need to sing just for the joy of it. For if a child is anything, they are about to play. Who is the greatest? And Jesus says, the one who knows how to play. Not the sensible grown-up. It's Billy Connolly, that great prophet among us, who says, "Never trust anyone who, if they're left in a room with a tea cosy, doesn't try it on their head." Hear, hear. Let me ask you, what do you do for fun? When was the last time that you laughed so hard that the sides of your belly ached? When was the last time that you made something? When you made something physically with your hands? Why has craft become the prerogative of a few? And why is it that you can only do something if somebody else is going to think it's fantastic? Why can't you just do it because you want to do it? Why can't you just paint that picture, knit that thing, make it, whatever it is, just because you want to do it? And when was the last time that you danced as though no one was watching? Why have we missed this teaching when it comes to the life of the church? What would the church life look like if we applied this teaching? Jesus says, and this is Jesus, by the way, the one who we believe has words of eternal life. This is Jesus talking, and he says, whoever wants to have the first place must be last of all, and whoever welcomes children welcomes me. So it's not all about reports, and it's not all about resolutions. It's about laughter, it's about creativity, it's about, above all else, the joy of the day. What makes for greatness? What leads to it? The problem for us, as is the problem that happens all the time, is that we have got suckered in by what the rest of society thinks, as opposed to remembering our truth and that with Jesus, things are different. So to take themes from James, to prove you are wise, you are going to live a good life. You are going to live a life with good deeds and humility. Quietly doing what is right, because it is right, not because people are cheering. Jesus, at the point in the story, is back home, and he's trying just to keep his head down. And he's got important things about death and life to talk to the disciples about. And he knows he's spoken to them about it before. And he also knows, because he's not an idiot, he is Jesus after all. He knows that they haven't understood it. And he has to keep saying it and saying it and saying it. And even at the end, they're not going to get it. But nobody can say he didn't tell them, because he did. But they're not going to get it. And they respond to his teaching about death and life with some sort of scrap about greatness. True greatness, Jesus says, is not to be above others, but to be the least and to be the servant of all. It's not, in the kingdom of God, it is not about ascending the social ladder, but descending it and being secure enough to take the lowest place. It's not about seeking the company of the powerful. It's about being prepared to welcome and care for those who have no status, such as a child. And to prove the point, he pulls the child into the middle and says, this is your example. Now, we live in a culture where some children are nearly worshipped. They become the center of their parents' energy and expectation and their parents' occupation. But that is not true of all children, even in a society like ours. And it might well be that a child comes from a loving family, but even there are children that are neglected in the sense that they have a lot of stuff, but not time, interest. And at the very least, a young child, like an old person, is a message about vulnerability. For the time of Jesus, a child was nothing until they became an adult. They had no legal status. Unlike our times, they had no legal status whatsoever. And Jesus pulls a child and says, here's your model. Here it is. That's how it is. That's how the kingdom is to be lived. And too much of our church's life is shaped by the model of power and status as it is seen outside of the teaching of Jesus. Not having the courage to listen to radical teaching like this. So the teaching of Jesus is the call to humility. That the aspiration is to be last, not to be first. Humble is a strange virtue because it feels like one of those things where the very core of it is self-forgetfulness. So how can you aspire to be humble? How can you aspire to be something where the very essence of it is about forgetting who you are? But Jesus says it is to be our aim. And I think it comes from a profound, deep, religious experience that is centered on our own knowledge of ourselves as people loved by God. If you can really believe that, it changes everything. You don't need all the huffing and puffing and applause from everybody else round about you. You can have the security to be among the humble because you actually know that somewhere is somebody who died on a cross and was raised to life, and it was because of you. It's a game changer. But for many of us, we've heard that song, la la la, it's gone in this ear, it's gone out the other, and we have not allowed this message of how far God has gone for us to change who we are and therefore to change the way that we relate to others. We hold on to our bit of power, we insist on our status, we insist on our name, we insist that people know who we are, we insist that how we want to do it is the way it's going to be done. So the question for each of us, the bit to take away, do you know right deep down inside you that God, creator of the universe, loves you? And Jesus pulls a child into the middle and says, here is what greatness looks like. Child's about play. Child's about powerlessness. Child is also about dependency. Dependency. Really? We live in a society that says independence, independence. That's what matters. I look after myself and you can go stuff off. I am independent. I don't need you. I might smile at you, but that's as far as it goes. No, says Jesus. Dependence. Really? Or a child, if a child is anything, they are curious and they are interested in learning. It's okay. If you're going to learn, you're going to have to be brave enough to say that you don't know. It's the mature, it's the grown-ups who know all the answers. But in that moment, actually, you are robbed of all the other things that could be explored and known. If a child is anything, they are curious and they have a desire to know more. So is not failure not to know, same as it is not failure to need another human being to help you with your basic physical tasks. The world says it is. The world says, actually, you shouldn't be here. Stuff off. But we say, it's okay. So these two passages that we've heard today are tough. They are difficult. And the reason that they're difficult, usually when I say that these two passages are difficult, is because they're difficult to understand. That's not where it is with these passages. These passages, we understand them. What's difficult is about applying them. That's what's difficult. So let me ask you this. Second bit of homework. How would your life look if you actually followed the teaching of Jesus and you made the child your model? If it was okay to be dependent, to be joyous, okay with change, expecting change, playing became a priority. It was a delight to learn something new, which meant first that you had to admit that you didn't know. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, in your love you humbled yourself, suffering betrayal and murder and rising again for us. You found and gave true greatness and life, not to human power and prestige, but in humility and sacrifice. You revealed God. For you were too great to need to stand on greatness, too powerful to need to flex your power, too generous to draw attention to the gift. Help us, Lord, to receive, to respect, to honour those who are humble and unregarded. And help us at those times when we are dependent, ignorant, outsiders. And give us the joy, the delight, the thirst for more learning. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join to sing, "Come Down, O Love Divine." So let's pray. For the things that have burdened us. Our own personal, private burdens. Our physical struggles, the worries that nobody else knows anything about, Lord, we pray. And for those that we love, their relationships, their work, their occupations, and our relationships with them. And those that we spend our days with, maybe in our place of work, maybe in our home, maybe in the volunteering activities that are ours, maybe in our community. And we pray for those who live nearby us. And if we say we pray for our neighbours, then we remember the teaching of Jesus, who is my neighbour. So Lord, we pray for those who are among the little people. The powerless, the poorest, those dispossessed of their countries, those on the move, those who are not welcome. And we pray for peace. Lord, we recognize the prayers that we offer We are not the only ones praying on this day. We know that the church in all its diversity is holding these people and concerns. So we pray for the church. And we pray for this church. For its leaders. And for those who have wisdom to share. Lord, may we be a people in all our diversity shaped by you. Let us receive as we have been received. Forgive as we have been forgiven. And love as we have been loved. For Jesus' sake. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. We offer our lives. We offer ourselves. And this money is a symbol of it, for it will be known in the ordinary physical things of life. Lord, we pray. Amen. So we join to sing our final hymn, Lord of Good Life. Thank you. So remaining as we are, uphold our lives, O God, and remind us of your faithfulness when we are overwhelmed. Anchor us in your hope. Lord, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.